Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 56 today. We're going to take apart for the directions. Paragraph 2 starts with one night when confined in a hospital and ends with, who are we to say there is no God? Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Carrie S., and reading the text today, and the rest of the wonderful support is Rachel P., Carol H., Elaine T., newcomers and sponsors will be Alex K. and then Leslie M. will round us out with giving you some announcements here at A Vision for You. The reference number, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, September 23rd, 2019, is 13432, 13,432. And then today at our 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, is 13435, 13,435. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater in Colorado. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. I will now ask Carrie S. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Carrie S. in Colorado. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Star 1, please make that connection for the muting process. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 56. We're going to look down at paragraph 2 today and unpack that one. It starts with one night when confined in a hospital and then ends with who are you to say there is no God? And I will ask Rachel P. to open us up this morning by reading that paragraph and then sharing her experience with it. Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. One night, when confined in a hospital, he was approached by an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience. Our friend's gorge rose as he bitterly cried out, "If there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me." But later, alone in his room, he asked himself this question: is it possible that all the religious people I have known are wrong? While pondering the answer, he felt as though he was in hell. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came. It crowded out all else. Who are you to say there is no God? As I think about this paragraph and how I identify with it, I've kind of broken out each sentence to think about how each one resonates with me. So with this first one, one night when confined in a hospital, he was approached by an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience. So I was aware of 12-step programs at a young age. My dad got sober in another program when I was 18. So I had that awareness of the anonymous programs. But I wasn't desperate enough to be metaphorically in a hospital until 10 years later when I was 28. And for 10 years, it was this constant cycle of binge, restrict, over-exercise, lose, gain, lose, gain. And I came to a therapist and I told her that I wanted to talk to somebody about what I do with food, that about how I binge, and it's uncontrollable, and I've tried everything to stop, and I couldn't. And she told me to go to OA. And even though I had been to OA prior, like 7 years prior, this was the moment that I was desperate enough that I was approached by the right person who is also a recovered compulsive eater. And she has known a spiritual experience, and she got me in the rooms and opened my mind to the solution. If there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. I was absolutely embittered by all of the traumas that I had experienced. I shared about this yesterday, but my mother committed suicide. I had childhood leukemia. My sister had childhood leukemia. My dad was an abusive drug addict. I wanted nothing to do with God because of all these traumas that had happened in me. And I blamed God, and I turned away from any notion of God at a young age when I was 14 when she passed. And then there's this question, is it possible that all the religious people I have known are wrong? That thought certainly crossed my mind during all of my years of being an atheist. You know, I knew I was in the minority as an atheist, and I had this indication that I was right and that everyone else was wrong. But certainly that question, that doubt, would come into my mind periodically. Is it possible that everyone else is wrong? And he felt as though he were in hell. I desperately wish that I could believe during those years that I was an atheist, that I could just kind of like shut off that piece of my brain that I thought was too intellectual and that like didn't work that way, that couldn't believe in this other power. But still, I had this cognitive dissonance for so many years, and I still wanted nothing to do with God. You know, I thought I was too intellectual. I thought I was too smart, and that it just didn't work for me. And I didn't understand the word faith because I made faith and hope synonymous with blind faith. I had a mental block. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came. I carted out all else. Who are you to say there is no God? There was no thunderbolt moment for me. The key was acting. The key was that when I came to the rooms and I heard about the steps, I took action to surrender. It didn't click at first, but I tried, I acted, and it worked. So thank you. I'm so grateful for this program. I will pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. The line is now open for additional comments on that paragraph. It's paragraph 2 on page 56 in your big book, the chapter We Agnostics, One Night When Confined in a Hospital. Please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Beatrice O.
Hi, Beatrice.
Good morning.
Ida A.
Ida, hi.
Wendy B.
Shawnee B.
Shawnee.
Liz S.
Liz S. Great lineup. Let's go with that one. Beatrice O, Ida A, Wendy B, Shawnee B, and Liz S. Hi again, Beatrice. It's your 3 minutes.
Okay, so the part that I liked, it says, who are you to say there is no God? So in the chapter above, he talks about the post-war delusionment, and I think I had like post-childhood delusionment, and I said exactly the same thing. If there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. And it took me 3 years in Eaters Anonymous to even believe that God was going to do something for me. I figured I did it all myself. The second thing is, I've always had all those questions. Well, why did God allow all this human suffering? And, you know, I know that there is no guarantees in life. And really, nobody really escapes or leaves this earth alive. And I believe for me, it is through the pain that I've been through that I learned to have some faith rather than relying on my own strength and knowledge. So I think because of my pain, I've had a lot of doubt and unbelief. I didn't get the thunderbolt, but I did hear a voice that said to me, you know, I've been with you. And so I believe for myself that I can't win a debate. I can't debate God. I have to, for me, I had to accept, I had to forgive, and I had to let go and let God if I was going to recover. It is what it is. It was what it was. And I can't cry over yesterday, because yesterday is gone. And I'm not going to look back anymore. And there's a million other people on this planet who have suffered just as much as I have. You know, I had a schizophrenic mother, and who raised me with disdain. You know, I wasn't supposed to be there. There was nowhere. There was no safety. And I guess the last thing I want to say is, I had to refrain from. Figure it out anonymous. I want an answer, and I'm never going to know all the answers. I guess what I want to finish with is I have a purpose in life. I have a higher power, and I've been healed. I've been healed from my past, and I can stand in reality and accept what I can't change. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Ida A., it's your turn, and then Wendy B. will follow you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Ida A. here, grateful compulsive overeater in Northern British Columbia. Melanie, thanks for starting us off, and thanks, everybody, for being here. I absolutely love that wherever I am in the world, I can count on several hours daily I can call in live or on a Sunday or a Saturday with a podcast, and I can be fed food that helps grow my spiritual my spirituality. And as it relates to this chapter, gosh, this what jumps out at me, he was approached by an alcoholic who had known a spiritual experience. And how I rewrite that in my head is that Ida has been approached by addicts who had a spiritual experience for years, and I missed it because I stood in judgment, and I said, this person doesn't really know what they're talking about, when it was God. Or I was so in the middle of my food trough career, my food eating career, that I just didn't see what was right in front of me. And then the Creator kept showing up. In a boat, in a plane, in a different body, and I just kept missing it until the big book came alive. And this, we agnostics, has been magical. It's really been magical, and I have seen how dishonest I have been, how angry I have been at God for things that God was with me all along, in trying to be loving, trying to be kind, and it was me. Becoming much like some of the parents and adult figures in my life as I was raised, showing up angry at God when really there was love and kindness. And so your stories, the big book stories, I've been saved through grace by your stories, your kindness and your love. And so no matter what calamity I have going on in my life, what clutter, how I block things with busyness, and I can still put on my runners and isolate, this program's magical. And it saved my life. So anybody out there still in the food? Anybody out there still shaking your fist at God? Yeah, me too. But more days than not, I'm not. And more days than not, I'm so grateful. And more days than not, I can kind of let some of you in and have gratitude. And I'm forming these like small, beautiful connections, but they're real. Super excited for the Newark trip. And where there'll be more medicine, right? There'll be more medicine, and there'll be love and kindness, because it's never been about the food. Never been about the food. Who knew? I no longer have to worship the refrigerator. Thank you, God. Thank you, Creator. Thank you all for being here. Love and blessings.
Thank you, Ida A. Wendy B., It's your 3 minutes, and then Shawnee will come in after you.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, where it says, if there is a God, he certainly hasn't done anything for me. And, you know, that's how I was. You know, I was so busy trying to run my own show, trying to get life to suit me. You know, I thought prayer was, you know, telling God what I think should happen, you know. And I hadn't had a meeting with the creator of the universe yet. You know, I hadn't bowed at his feet and wept at the awareness of all the damage I'd done in my life, you know, trying to run my own show. You know, and when I finally surrendered to this awesome, you know, creator of love and grace and forgiveness and accepted his gift, you know, of a new transformed life, I stopped challenging and resisting and running from him. You know, he showed me he was right inside of me, loving me and feeling my pain through every circumstance I had held against him. You know, my walls came down. I felt so alone and rejected ever since I was a baby, you know. Then my eyes were opened to the fact that I was the one rejecting him because he didn't meet my needs on my terms. You know, even as a baby, I was trying to run the show. And now my deep insecurity all through my life has disappeared because it was a separation from God that was creating the insecurity. You know, and I get my security now from having a relationship with God. And, you know, he's in me and working through me. And I'm not alone. You know, I can no longer say there is no God. I have met him and accepted my place among my fellows, you know, at his feet, willing to do his will and not mine. And I'm learning to rely on his strength to accomplish his work, his way, you know, with his wisdom. And, you know, I've learned all that in this program. This is a beautiful program of getting, you know, helping you learn how to connect with God. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Shawnee B., it's your turn, and then Liz will come in after you.
Hi, good morning. This is Shawnee B. So I wanted to share how this paragraph really comes alive for me in my own personal spiritual life and my own spiritual transformation that I've had. I happen to be having a baby very soon, and I had some recent complications, very, 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 very painful ones that have left me bedridden, and as a mother of quite a few young kids, my life has been turned upside down. And I've experienced this a few times, and it was always like, what kind of God would do this? That was the experience, the fear that I had behind all this pain. And in, you know, in general, my perspective coming into program was, I always believed in God, but I always just thought, you know, we have to have our own best interest at the end of the day.
Could you speak up? I can't hear.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I'll try to speak up. Society teaches us, you know, we have to have our own best interest at heart, and we have to push, and we have to, you know, constantly advocate, you know, to win the race of, you know, supposedly life. My psychic change has allowed me to be in the depths of very deep pain and to continue to challenge the path of why is this happening to me, to how is this happening for me, what, and even more so the trust that my higher power, everything he's doing for me, is for my highest highest good. You know, in the sense of physical pain and physical, you know, true physical agony. And on top of that, just so much powerlessness within the havoc of life when a young mom with young children just suddenly becomes bedridden. And so I'm truly just so grateful to my higher power, to my fellowship, for this psychic change of just believing that this is my highest good. And I really just wanted to share this because this is recovery. Like, recovery is really nice when everything is hunky-dory, but recovery really is put to, it's really like I'm able to live it, and I'm so forever grateful to be on this meeting and grateful for my higher power bringing me to this point. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. We're going to open up the lines after Liz has a chance to have her 3 minutes, but I wanted to let folks know that you are able to press *6 on your phone keypad, and that will increase the conference volume for you on your own phone so that you can hear really clearly. So let's move on and have Liz S. give her 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines again for additional shares. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. Can you hear me, Melanie?
I can.
Great. You know, it's the first time I've read this paragraph, and the thought occurred to me that the whole paragraph is God's work. And the reason I thought about it that way is that I really think that the alcoholic's visit opened this man's mind just enough to reconsider his thinking, because the other thing that's crucial for me to remember is that God doesn't give me what I want. My purpose is to align my will with God's. His will for me is always better than mine, and I really must remember that. And that the thing that I also have to remember is that I personally do not believe that God causes dreadful things to happen. I've been through some horrific things in my own family, and I never felt that God was responsible. What I always knew was that He was there after, and He was there to carry me through and get me over what happened, the calamity, you know, the dreadful occurrence. But I never believed that He caused these things to happen, but He would always be there. And if I'm going through something, He is always there to guide me and direct me. But this man's experience, I think, is all about this slow opening of his mind so that he can even consider that maybe the religious people that he has known or thought of have been right. And from there, he can open his mind and allow God to enter his heart. And with that, I close.
Thank you so much, Liz S. Okay, so the lines are now open. Here's what we're unpacking today. We're on, in the chapter, we agnostics, we're on page 56, and the second paragraph, and it begins with one night when confined in hospital and ends with, who are we to say there is no God? So if you're interested in sharing, please give me the first name and the first initial of your last name.
Michelle.
Santa H.
Michelle and Santa.
Laura R.
Somebody R. Laura.
Laura.
Gotcha.
Thank
you. Okay, gotcha.
Kayla T.
Hi, Kayla T.
Pamela R. B.
Pamela R., if you're on speaker, can I get you to move off of that, please?
Absolutely.
It's better for recording and for folks to hear you. Thanks so much. That may be all that we can take so far. So let's check to see how that works out. I have Santa, I have Michelle, Laura, Kayla, and Pamela. Hi, Santa. Star
morning.
There you are.
Good morning, Melody. Thank you for hearing me this morning. As I call out my name, is Santa H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And having read Fitz M's story, it was such a painful story to read. He had some mics from reading his story. I felt his pain, and he had lived through hell from his experiences. And just like I have lived through hell, but today I understand that I was the one who created the hell that I had to live in. And being growing up in a religious home and then marrying to a minister, I was indoctrinated with a lot of religious dogma and a lot of religious philosophies, and some of them I still held on to today. But I know when I came into this room, I had to let go of a lot of anger that I had towards back then what I would call God. And what was so wonderful about this program for me is that it has allowed me to choose my own conception of a higher power. And that was just like Bill felt. It was the same situation with me. It was such a marvelous idea. And his feelings towards it, that is stayed into the Bill story, how he felt, I can definitely relate to him. His experience is there. And so also for me, just like he felt that I'm getting from the story here, just from this paragraph here, what's coming up for me is that he felt that living in hell, he had enough. So he needed to turn towards something else. He saw as a person growing up in a religious background that these people had something that he should be having an open mind to. And I had to do the same thing. I had to have an open mind when I came in here. And so grateful for a sponsor who really got my attention when she said, choose your own conception of a higher power. And it has been evolving. And I'm grateful today that I do have a higher power that I have a wonderful relationship with, and is evolving and is growing as I continue to do the work in this book. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Santa H. Okay, so we now have Michelle. Michelle, is it Michelle J?
It sure is.
Okay, hi.
Sure is. Yeah. Good morning to all of you, too. Yeah, Michelle J from Arkansas, recovering today by the grace of God, overeater here. Morning, all of you. Hey, this was like a lightning bolt experience. I loved it. When the first word, you know, who are you to say there is no God? The who are you is what got me really strong today, because, you know, I've only heard the voice of God strong enough that I would say, yes, this was his voice. And I heard it a few times in life. And the first time I was committing suicide, I'd actually was in the middle of my attempt. And a miracle happened, and I just heard a voice say, it's not your time. And I thought that was weird. Okay, go on. But the next time I heard his voice was concerning stuff, and he said, who told you? Who told you that? And I'm like, whoa. And then the next time I heard his voice, it was, you must give to others what I have given to you at any cost. That's 12 steps there. The 12th step. So anywho, it's back to the who are you. It just, the lightning bolt experience in my head and my heart coming together is this. I am only me. I'm not God. And he is God. And it's a very humbling but beautiful place to be and to set and program. Because the who am I is when I start taking over, when I start thinking. That's when I get into trouble. I need to remember the who. The who is the God that is in control, or should be if we let him. And anyways, I just think it's a really humbling way for God to speak to all of us, if we could just remember who and who's in control and who we should be leaning on and who has the answers. And it's the who. And, it, you know, there is a God, and it's the who. Anyways, with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Laura R., your 3 minutes are now, and then Kayla will follow you.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., recovered compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. I love the big book. It's so amazing. And I was just thinking about, I was telling my sponsor the other day, I'm like, why is it only in the last analysis that he may be found? And when I was growing up, I didn't know how to seek higher power. And when I got, and pain kind of took in, and my dad left, and he was my higher power, so abandonment. And then my mom, you know, she was all about rules and performance. And so it's all about, you know, performing to get God's love. And that's just my perception of what I thought it was. So when I was so uncomfortable in my own skin, when I was out in the world, and I saw things that looked like they would give me comfort, or, you know, give me that comfort, that peace, that ease. Yeah, I grabbed onto it, you know, and when I did grab onto those certain things and those did satisfy a temporary solution for me, you know, and give me that sense of ease and comfort, I couldn't let go. You know, I didn't realize that I had the allergy of the body and then the obsession of the mind. Because at first, when I, for me, with alcohol, I was done. And then with food, done. And, you know, it's just with all kinds of other things. But, you know, so I just kind of give ourselves some grace. Like, I didn't know that when I picked up, I didn't understand how to find God back when I was little. And before I knew it, I was addicted and to a lot of things. But it's interesting reading this paragraph because business failure, insanity, well, the paragraph above, but, you know, fatal illness, suicide, and now he's confined. And I had to get to that place of confinement where all walls were closing in on me. And I remember I had that thought that came to my mind, if OA, or if AA works for alcoholics, OA has got to work for compulsive overeaters. Like, it has to. And then I went to a meeting, and then I found a woman who had, the problem had been solved, and she told me about vision, and she also took me through the 12 steps. And, oh, my gosh, you know, I even though I didn't stay abstinent in that moment, I knew there was a solution here, and I kept seeking and seeking and seeking. And I love where it says, like, we have to rightly relate ourselves to God, you know, and that's been so hard, you know. And what I've been finding over and over again and lately more and more is that God is so concerned with all, every aspect of my life, and he wants to know everything. And it's when I, you know, kind of forget about him is when I get into trouble. You know, just the other day, all of a sudden life got hard for a second. I just forgot. I got anxious and I forgot to tap in. And before I knew it, I was, you know, my poor husband got the wrath of Laura, and because I was using my own energy. And you know what I love about this program is I'm aware. I do, you know, 10 step. I talk to someone, I pray, I make amends, and, you know, and then I rightly relate myself to God and realize that I need more God, less Laura.
Time.
Thank you. I love that, you know, it's not an overnight matter. We get to continue this for a lifetime. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Kayla T., your 3 minutes. Pamela R.B. will come in after you.
This is Kayla T. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, lovely. Thank you guys so much for being here today. I heard so much good stuff that I can relate to. And honestly, I haven't been to a meeting in a couple days, and just being in the presence of you people, I feel like I can breathe. And I heard some things I can relate to, but more importantly, to the reading, I really love the paragraph, this whole paragraph, but specifically it talked about when confined in a hospital. And that word confined, I may or may not have been in a hospital, but my God, was I confined. I remember being so desperate and so willing to do whatever it took to not live in this perpetual hell that I had created for myself. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. I too am almost expecting a baby. And I heard this woman share her experience, you know, her strength and her hope. And in that identification with her, I thought to myself, boy, is she cracked about God, you know? I know I've had a spiritual experience, but not like that. And I tried to do it a different way for a few more months. And I found myself even more confined and even more desperate and even more willing. And I thought, you know what? I've got nothing to lose here. I'm this is the last house on the block for me. And I asked that woman to sponsor me, and she connected me with vision, and she took me through a vigorous course of action. There was no time to be wasted. She told me that there was no reason for me to stay in the white knuckle phases of this. Let's get through 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's get into step 9. That's where the promises come to be true. And so I followed her, and I've had this freedom and this connection and this, and it goes on to talk about, you know, the presence of a God in the next paragraph, but who am I to say there is no God? I mean, just reminds me of the arrogance of the suffering addict, you know, that for me, I often think that I know better and that, you know, I should just power my way through life. And this woman has taught me that, no, I don't even put on a pair of shoes in the morning without checking in with God. I don't make my breakfast or go about my day without saying, hey, what do you think about this, God? And every day I get to do a 10th step, and every day I get to look at myself and with, you know, examination and meditation and prayer and see how I can surrender so that God can come in and work in my life, that I get to be a channel every day that carries this message to other people that are still suffering. And I may not have any sponsors right now, but that's okay because I'm living this way of life with my children and my family, and I'm so grateful to everybody that shared today, and thank you for being here. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Kayla T. Pamela B., you're 3 minutes, and it looks like we might have time for at least one more person after Pamela. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I so appreciate this. Pamela B. here from Detroit, Michigan. You know, I'm just so grateful. Good morning, everybody. I'm just grateful to be here this morning. So it says one night when confined in a hospital. You know, I wasn't confined in a hospital, but I was confined 2 years ago at the Vision for You conference. And I was there with everybody who was seeking recovery or in recovery, and I knew I needed to be there. It was my hospital. And as a result of being in the right place at the right time, I was approached that morning by the Step One speaker. And the Step One speaker asked me, well, how was your recovery? How's everything? And I got honest and I said, it's crappy. You know, my recovery is literally crappy. And she challenged me to in it for 24 hours. And I took her up on it. And as a result, 2 years later, here I am. You know, I'm free of the obsession, the compulsive, the idea of being compulsive. And not only with food, but many other things. And I'm in a space today where I know there is a higher power. Because when I came to that convention 2 years ago, I came with the mindset of saying, you know what, if there is a God, he hasn't done a whole lot for me. Because I came with Swedish fish and brown sugar. And I was ready to say, God, either you is or you ain't. And God showed up in a most miraculous way. I mean, how unusual is that? Or how odd is that for me to come back, sit at the table with my food, and sitting to my right is the Step One speaker for that morning. I was like, okay, you're here. I believe you now. You know, I have eyes and I've heard. And as a result, I even want a book. I mean, how weird is that? A new big book. Now, mind you, I've been in the program prior to that 11 years. But it was off and on, off and on. I was either cold, I was either hot. But this particular day, I just knew that if I did not accept what was the simple tool that was laid at my feet, I was going to eat again. And God showed up in a way. He showed up, as we say, showed up and showed out. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning, to be able to share that with anybody who's sitting on the fence. Just keep your ears open, because he does show up sometimes with skin. So thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, everybody.
You're welcome, Pamela B. Thank you so much. Hey, there does look like there's time for at least one more, if not one more 3 minute, and perhaps two minute shares. If you'd like to share,
Anne-Marie D.
Let me know.
Katrine H.
Somebody D. Who was that? Oh, Anne-Marie, I think.
D, yeah.
Anne-Marie G. And then one more?
Katrine H.
Katrine. So that takes it to just 2 minutes each, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead, Anne-Marie. There you go.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I've been invested in my religion for most of my life, but had a period of agnosticism that lasted about 5 years. But I had God in my ego box. I had him confined in there. My reasoning determined who or what God or higher power was or was not. And my reasoning, because of this disease, is faulty in all matters, especially when it comes to spiritual things. And I'm not talking about religious things now. I'm talking about spiritual things. And it held me tethered to the practical, to the tangible, to what I could understand. I was like a hot air balloon in a sense, just, you know, held to the ground, unable to launch. My ego was all involved, had everything to do with that. But in that moment of my tremendous need, when I was out of all answers and had an overwhelming deflation, that power beyond my understanding was there. And all I had to do was reach out ever so hesitantly, and my word, that power just, with a capital P, just came pouring out at me because there was a crack in my armor. And now I have the benefit of this wonderful fellowship that can support me in maintaining that. It's up to me now to maintain that with his help and support, doing his will. So that's really what those words, when I read those words for the first time, they were like chilling. It was like, oh, who am I? You know, I'm just another bozo on this bus. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Okay, Katrine H., you're 2 minutes right now.
Hi, this is Katrine H. in Vermont. Can you hear me, Millie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting me share. I, too, was at the hospital of the Newark Convention 2 years ago and really got the message, again, also from especially from the woman who spoke about step one, and started my abstinence. And I am now in a place where I have been super willful and not paying attention to God. I know there is a God, and I know that God takes over for me and helps me with many things, and that my will is usually what gets me into trouble, and it has again because I broke my abstinence. And so I'm just wanting to out myself on that and say that I need a sponsor. I have been trying basically to do as little as possible and still be abstinent, and that really does not work. And I know that doesn't work, but, you know, I don't listen to God sometimes. I listen to my own will, and my own will and my own thinking is what really just does not work. And so I feel badly and sort of ashamed about that, but on the other hand, I know that you guys are there, and I am so grateful. And if anyone wants to call me, my number is on the website, and you can. I would love to connect with people. I need some help right now. Thank you so much, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you so much, Katrine H. Those folks were nice and quick, so we have time for one more two-minute share. Is anybody up to it?
Elaine B.
Okay, hi, Elaine. I'll take you. 2 minutes, madam.
Thank you so much. I came in desperately in a relapse, and had a relationship with a higher power, so I need to sort of modify a little bit and say, instead of saying, who am I to say there is no God, and I really needed to say, who am I to say there's not more to the God that I had. I needed a supersized God. I didn't need to supersize my food. I didn't need to supersize my intake. I needed to allow my understanding to expand enough for me to grab hold of these steps and just one day at a time, trust that there's more, trust that there's going to be more than enough to get me through all of these steps, all of these cravings, all of these temptations, so that my food could get put in its place and I could come into this relationship with my higher power, who did give me exactly what I needed and continues to do so one day at a time, if I'm open to set aside everything that I think I know and be open to a new experience with the steps, with this community, with food. And, you know, it's a life second to none. So if you're new, I encourage you, if you're wondering, is there a God? Is this really possible? Are these people nuts? You know, just crack open the door a little bit and just make a little room for a power greater than yourself to prove itself true, as it has done for so many of us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. That does conclude the sharing portion of our meeting, and we're going to wrap up the recorded part here. So stick around after the recording has stopped and after the Serenity Prayer so that you can get in on newcomers and sponsor contact information and announcements. But for now, let's wrap this part up. I'd like to ask, after thanking everyone for their participation today, is for Carol H. to please read page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until death.